God's made with.
Dave does such a good job leading our singing, and I want to thank him for leading songs that have to do with our Savior this morning, because it goes hand in glove with what I'm going to talk about today. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And if you want an outline of my sermon, you can have it by opening up the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be involved in both 5, 6, and 7, but we're going to start in chapter 5. I want to talk about the Lord Jesus this morning. But before I do, I want to keen up your appreciation for who he is and your attraction to him. Interview recently in World Magazine. This is a periodical that comes to my house and which I enjoy reading. And interview with a man by the name of Peter Singer. You may not know or have heard the name Peter Singer, but he has some renown attached to him. There are a lot of people who do know his name. Dr. Singer is a professor of human values at the prestigious Princeton Institution, Princeton University, and recently was interviewed about his philosophies, which he teaches, relative to moral issues such as abortion or euthanasia or sexuality. Let me give you just a flavor of that interview. Question. Well, let's start. Let's back up. What I want to do is to show you some of his credentials. Here's what people are saying about him. The New York Times says no other living philosopher had this kind of influence. The New England Journal of Medicine says he has had more success in affecting changes in acceptable behavior than any philosopher since Bertrand Russell. The New Yorker magazine says this. Are you ready for this? The most influential philosopher alive. And here is some of an interview recently from him. What about same-sex marriage? He says, intellectual child's play. That's already been decided, logically decided. It's time to move on to polyamory. Polyamory, meaning multiple partners in marriage. He goes on to say that any kind of fully consensual sexual behavior involving two people or 200 people is ethically fine. What about bestiality? He says, it's not wrong inherently in a moral sense. Then the subject of euthanasia. What about parents conceiving and giving birth to a child specifically with the intention to kill him, to take his organs, to transplant them into their ill older children? Singer answers, well, it's difficult to warm to parents who can take such a detached view, but they're not doing something really wrong in itself. What about the value of human life versus animal life? And Dr. Singer said this, given a choice between keeping alive an adult chimpanzee and a human infant, the chimp should be chosen over the child. You know, sometimes you turn over a rock and you look underneath and you see what people can be like who choose not to retain God in their knowledge. And so what happens? What will happen to people who choose to exclude themselves or separate themselves altogether from God? And the picture you get is pretty scary. And when you read something like this, you'll react in the same way that I do. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I want to be like him. And I want his philosophies. I want his truth. I want to imbibe it. I want it to be me. I want to be as much like him as I possibly can. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, the Hebrews writer says, God at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, the challenge in my life and yours is to take the words of Jesus on the printed page and attach them to our lives to make our characters conform to what he says. And there's a gap there. That's the challenge. It's like what's going on in your brain right now. You have thousands of neurons in your brain, and they take electronic impulses from your fingertips and your tongue and your ears and your eyes and this stimuli, and it goes from into the neurons, but it has to make that jump from neuron to neuron. And how does it do that? Well, there's a chemical called a synapse that's between the neurons. That's the bridge so that the thought can come. That's how it is in our lives. I read the words of Jesus, but somehow I've got to bridge that gap. And there are verses of Scripture which discuss this very thing. For example, Matthew chapter 7 and 24. Whoso heareth these sayings of mine, watch it now, and doeth them. There's the bridging of the gap. You take it off the page and you put it in your life. And doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me, and watch, and receiveth not my word, has one that judges him. The receiveth there is the bridging of the gap. 2 John 9, whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. The abiding in the doctrine of Christ is the bridging of the gap that I'm describing this morning. It's taking the words of Jesus off of the page and getting it into our lives. So you're in a burning house. You're on the second floor. There's smoke billowing up from the staircase, and you got to get out of there. You know you can't stay in there. And what are you going to do? Maybe the window. But there's a jump. I don't know if I would survive it without a broken leg or a neck. But there's the staircase over here, but all I can see is smoke. I don't know what's down there. And then you hear a voice from the staircase. You can't see him, but you hear a voice, and he says, I'm a fireman. Everything's going to be all right. Come on down the stairs. I'm going to take care of you, and I'll show you the way out. What are you going to do? You know what you're going to do. You're going to head into that billowing smoke of the staircase. You're going down there, and that's because you trust the voice that you hear. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the good book says of Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. It's Jesus saying, everything's going to be all right. I know that you can't see me, but I am here, and I want you to trust me and do what I say. All right. We started this sermon with an awful interview. I only brought you that for one purpose, not to answer those issues. We'll do that later. But I wanted to keen up the attention that you have, the love that you have for the truth of Jesus Christ, to prepare us for the second interview. Now, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to present questions to Jesus today. We're going to interview him through his word. We're going to do four different categories, two of them this morning, two of them this afternoon. We're going to talk about personal relationships. We're going to talk about spiritual matters. Tonight we're going to talk about some personal matters and some business matters. Let's do the first two. Now, the way it's going to work is I will ask the question. You'll see it up on the screen. I'm not going to tell you where the reference is, but you'll see it up there. It'll come up there. So you keep your Bible open at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and you'll see where the answers are as I read them to you. Picture in your mind, picture on the screen of your imagination, an interview. What would you give? What would you give to physically be in the presence of Jesus and ask him questions? Well, this is the next best thing. Picture in your mind a group of people being able to ask questions of and interview Jesus. And they begin to raise their hands. And the subject matter is social relationships. Jesus, wait, I have a question. I have some folks who have slandered and betrayed me. I mean, Lord, I'm really hurt, and I'm angry, and I'm upset. Tell me what to do about this. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy enemy, and thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Somebody else. Jesus, wait, I have a question. Sometimes at work, I get a hard time from other people because, not just because I'm a Christian, The other day, for example, I had to make a decision. I made a decision and I knew that it would affect a number of people in a way they didn't like, but I knew that it was the right thing to do. But you know, now, Lord, they're really down on me. I'm losing sleep over it. Any advice, Jesus? Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Somebody else. Lord, sometimes it's hard for me not to, well, hide my Christianity. I mean, people, let's face it, just wouldn't understand anyway. Jesus, isn't it easier just to keep your faith to yourself? I mean, you've always heard. I always figured that there are two things that you just should never discuss in public. Politics and religion. What do you say about that, Jesus? You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? What is it good for? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Somebody else. Lord, Jesus, this is personal, but I had a falling out with one of the church members here in the congregation. Lord, the only way that I can sit in worship is to make sure that I just completely avoid her altogether. Is there anything else that you want me to do about this, Jesus? I mean, of course, I don't want to lose my soul over this. I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, you stupid, empty-headed one, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against you, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Jesus, this is kind of a broad question, but I just want to help with this. I really want to be a good Christian. How can I be a better child of God in my daily life? That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Lord, I have a question. a lady, I'll just call her Jane Doe. A lady, Jane Doe, criticized my family behind my back and gossiped some very sensitive information. I mean, she apologized. Okay, so she came to me and she said she was sorry, but how can I make myself forgive her for something like that? I mean, it really hurts, Jesus. And I'm not handling it very well. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus, I have a question. I'm a major, it's just the truth. I'm a major contributor in this church. Doesn't it make sense to you that the elders should listen more to my opinions than they would, for example, to people who are lesser contributors? Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lord, could I ask a question? I have a question. I want to ask about prayer. I mean, I pray, but I'm not really sure about this. Is there really a benefit in prayer, Jesus? I mean, a benefit in prayer that is beyond just making me feel better by the exercise of praying. Is there something more than that to this? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Or what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil humans, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts unto them that love him? Jesus, I have a question. Some people say that we should leave our denominations and just be Christians only. I don't know. I mean, other people have different opinions. Other people say that it doesn't matter to God which denomination one belongs to. One's as good as the other. Let me just put it this way, Jesus. Surely you would never encourage people who are devoted to a denomination to leave their church they've been happy in for years just because of its teaching a few things which disagree with the Bible. Right? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Is there anybody else? Any other questions? Yes, Lord. I'd like to ask a question. Most people, Jesus, believe that you are a wise man and a prophet. But how important is it that we follow you exclusively? There are lots of different faiths in the world. And lots of people have their faith in lots of different things. I know you're a great man, that you're a prophet, but how important is it that people follow you exclusively? I mean, should we study your sayings as we do other great men? Good advice. Or should we really study your sayings as rules to live by? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it stood because it was founded on a rock. Likewise, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In Matthew chapter 24 and 35, I have what is to me a very comforting verse with reference to the words of Jesus Christ. I look to the philosophies and words of men about me, and naturally I'm afraid. And it makes me cling closer to Jesus, to His truth, because He's from heaven, because He's divine, because He's the Son of God. But then I fear lest at some point in the life of mankind, these words might be taken away from us. And then I take comfort in this great verse which says, from my Lord's lips, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So, the house is on fire. And all you can see coming up the staircase is billowing smoke, and you don't know what you're going to do. It may be that going down that staircase would result in terrible burns and death. Or maybe you could jump out the window. But if you do, you could really hurt yourself. And trying with this dilemma, what am I going to do? And you hear the voice saying, I'm down here. Everything's going to be all right. Come on down the staircase. I'll show you the way out. And you go. Take the world, but give me Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this interview with Jesus. We'll talk about personal matters. We'll talk about business matters. We'll get to the words of our Lord. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who hasn't taken the name of Jesus for himself. Maybe you have made up your mind. There are philosophies of the world. They're not good enough, and I'm not going to follow them. I want King Jesus. I want to be His servant. I want to wear His name. I want to be a Christian. You can, you know, by repenting of your sins. That is to turn from wrong to follow what He says is right to the best of your ability and for the rest of your life. That's repentance. You confess His sweet name just like the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The implication of that is He really is from heaven, and I am obligated to obey His words. I will follow Him because He's God. And then you must be baptized. The Bible says it's into Christ, and that when you're immersed in water, that you put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, 27 and following. Would you like to become a New Testament Christian? Would you like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You can. Obey the gospel this morning. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there's someone here who would like to respond to the Lord's invitation, come now as we stand and sing.